from CAN TV in Chicago.
WPFW will air Democracy Now!'s coverage of the Democratic National Convention daily from 9 until 10 a.m. beginning Monday, August 19th through Friday, August 23rd. Listen and donate anytime to this programming and all of our other programming at WPFWFM.org.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
What'd I do?
Okay,
turn around.
Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Tuesday morning. And the weather's changing. We come to you every Tuesday at the same time. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And again, we got to thank you for the emails, the texts, and the phone calls from all over the world. People have been listening to Grapevine. This has exceeded our wildest dreams. So thank you for tuning in and keep on supporting us. We'll open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Killings by police could reach record total over a decade. Two officers 400 miles apart claimed self-defense after they were indicted in the murders of two black women, killings that prompted a national outcry over police brutality and law enforcement accountability. Experts say the shootings, two of hundreds across the U.S. each year, underscore the prevalent use of deadly force by law enforcement despite widespread de-escalation standards. Internal discipline procedures vary greatly across the 18,000 law enforcement agencies. According to Mapping Police Violence, most killings by officers begin with traffic stops, mental health checks, disturbances, nonviolent offenses, or where no crime was alleged. Since January, law enforcement officers have killed 759 people, putting the year on track to be the deadliest since the group began tracking in 2013. Instead of addressing the root causes of crime, such as mental illness or poverty, the U.S. waits for the crime to occur and then hides away the perpetrator at an exorbitant cost for the rest of their life. The country spends more than $80.7 billion on public prisons and $3.9 billion on private prisons. This doesn't account for the $2.5 billion placed upon the families of incarcerated individuals for additional expenses like visiting, money orders, phone calls, etc. When accounting for the total annual cost of mass incarceration, including policing, public defense, bail, health care, and prisoners' costs, the U.S. spends an estimated $182 billion a year on crime and corrections. On average, private prisons cost $1,600 more per inmate than state-run prisons. African-American children and Hispanic children were more likely and 2 to 3 times more likely, respectively, than white children to have an incarcerated parent. Since 2016, 1,900 wrongfully accused inmates had been exonerated, and 47% of those were African-Americans. African-American adults are 5.9 times more likely to be incarcerated as white adults, and Hispanic adults are 3.1 times more likely. A study found that black male defendants serve 19% longer sentences than their white counterparts. And that's been a brief grapevine for this morning to give you an update on what's going on around the country. I want to thank you for tuning in. Good morning. Our co-host is joining us, Nikeche Taifa. Good morning, Nikeche.
Good morning, Rocha Martin. How y'all doing this morning?
And thank you. Lady, you were something else. I don't know. We couldn't have picked a better co-host. We've been doing this about 5-6 years, Nikeche, and you make every meeting. I don't care where you are. You get on that phone and call in. Lady, you got a commitment that I really respect and admire. Thank you, Nikeche.
Well, Roach Brown, I'm just trying to follow in your footsteps, my brother. Long-distance runner, long-distance crossroads. Hey.
We have an interesting show this morning. Our guest is Eugene Brown, founder and CEO of the Big Chair Chess Club. And the topic is, believe it or not, to teach the unreachable and reach the unteachable. And we're talking about violence in our community and the stuff all around the city. We got a format or a program that can impact this. I go to prisons all the time. On the phone is Eugene Brown, the chess champion and the founder and director of the Big Chair Chess Club. I went over to the jail recently, and I spoke with a couple of young guys over there. And one guy was crying. I said, "What's going on, man?" And he said, "I want to go home." And then one of the guys told me, "Go home. You killed 3 people. You're already home." And a lot of these kids don't realize, they don't think before they make a move. And a lot of times they get over to jail. You don't see on TV what happens to those kids when they get arrested for carjacking, killers, and shootings. They go to jail, and a lot of them will never come out for 20, 30, 40 years or decades. So we got a program this morning dealing with think before you move. A lot of these kids need this critical thinking. And I was amazed that our good friend Eugene Brown, founder and CEO of the Big Chair Chess Club, that's been going all over the country teaching chess and using chess as a way of combating violence, crime, and getting kids to think before you move. That's one of the problems, is they just shoot or do something and don't think about the consequences. And there are some big, big consequences. So joining us on the phone is our special guest, Mr. Eugene Brown, founder and CEO of the Big Chair Chess Club. Good morning, Eugene.
Good morning. Good morning, Roach. Good morning.
And your name is Brown, and our name is Brown. Everybody thought, are we related or not? Do you think we're related, Gene?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because we on the same mission. Anytime, man, you share the same commonality of an experience, we related.
Yeah. Well, let me introduce you. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about your background and history before we get into the topic. You're from D.C., and go ahead and take it from there.
Yeah, I'm from Fairmont Heights. I'm right across the line.
Okay.
You know, so that's where I actually came up. Now, anybody don't know Fairmont Heights, man, Fairmont Heights was close to third world. You know, I mean, you had people that when I came up over there that didn't have running water. They had to go down to the end of the block, man, to get water. Some of the folks had outhouses. So, you know, we came up, man, and pretty rough, man. So, but, coming up in D.C., I ended up leaving Fairmont Heights. My father hit a number, man, and we moved to a middle-class neighborhood. We moved to a middle-class neighborhood, and that was a change. That changed our whole life. But one of the things I do remember is the fact that when we moved from Fairmont Heights, and the last time we were moving, I asked my mother, I said, "Well, where's the truck for the furniture?" She said, "Boy, get in the car. We're leaving that junk here."
Yeah.
And what happened was, yeah, we left the furniture and everything, but we didn't leave our morals. We didn't leave our values in our way. Yeah. We took the same values to that new location. And I'm finding out that those are some of the things that we experienced. You can change locations, but you know, the same things that you characteristically do every day, you're going to carry those things until something else happened in your life where you have a paradigm shift.
Yes.
Now, the thing before you move came Ty Gray Hill. You know Ty Gray Hill.
Ty Gray Hill, yes.
Ty Gray Hill gave me a poem. When he heard "Always Think Before You Move," He said, brother, I'm going to give you something. But I like that. And this is what he gave me. And this is what describes the whole program. He gave me this. He said, this is the story of a chess club founded for inner city youth. It's different from most. It's distinguished in boasts of not just teaching chess, but truth. It teaches young kids to reason, to rationalize, to use good sense and intelligence against deception, treachery, and lies. So at the Big Chair Chess Club, we're on a mission to save the lives of our children, to teach the unteachable, reach the unreachable, and always think before you move. And that's been my mission.
Okay, beautiful. They did a movie. Let me back up a minute. Your life story, your story was made into a movie called The Life of a King, and there were difficulties in school, time spent in juvenile detention centers, a conviction for armed robbery, and finally prison. It was there that you learned to play chess, and when he was paroled about a quarter century ago, he became an evangelist for the game, founding the Big Chair Chess Club for children in Washington. And you've spoken to, you've been on TED Talk, you go around the country speaking, spreading this concept of how to use chess is a critical thinking, a tool to help stop some of this violence, in the sense that you have to think before you move, and you got to protect that king at all costs, and that king is you.
And the movie with
Cuba the movie starring Cuba Gooding, Life of a King. And man, we saw that movie, Eugene. It's powerful, man. What are some of the highlights, man? Is how long have you been doing running the chess program inside of institutions and schools? And what are some of the highlights of some of your success stories that came out of this project?
Well, we started out at years ago in 1990, and I always give myself credit for bringing chess east of the river. So we started out at Union Temple, and one of the biggest causes that really had interest me about starting a chess program was there was no chess facilities for guys that was coming home to be able to, because I saw how, you know, during time, how inmates would gravitate and live on the chessboard, the same way Muslims would dedicate themselves to their religion, the same way chess players do the same thing. And when they was coming home, there was no place for the, you know, the same, to bring that same experience. So we started a chess club at Union Temple. And before the month was out, I remember Reverend Willie Wilson, it was about 30 chess players in the basement of Union Temple. And Reverend Wilson came down there and he looked, and you couldn't hear a sound. He said, man, chess is spiritual. He said, you can't even hear a sound in here.
Yeah.
But those were some of the things that really ignited me into. Be able to have the guys come home. Then the thought further came to my mind as to how it changed my life. You know, and once I really understood the dynamics of the chess game, the fact that in chess, there's three elements. There's an opening, there's a middle, and there's an end game. In our lives, there's an opening, there's a middle, and there's the end game.
Yes.
Our young age, our middle age, and our end game. Now, some kids that's on the other side of town, they see their end game while they're in the opening. They see that they're going to college. They see that they're going to take over their parents' business. They see a corridor that they're going to travel through from the onset of their early experience. They know where they're going at. And, you know, I'm a barber as well. I've seen kids coming back from funerals with T-shirts and bragging about, they had one funeral where a guy was standing up vertical in the coffin. He was standing up vertical.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, he was kind of slouched to the side. And one guy said, man, that's how I want my joint to be. I said, man, you not even know, you glorifying a funeral already?
And he was a teenager?
Yeah, a teenager, young guy. they was glorifying how he wanted his funeral to be at that age. I said, man, you know, you got a whole life ahead of you, man. You know, what? How do you want to end up? Oh man, I'm gonna be okay. But there was no vision as to how is this end game? How am I gonna end up when I get to be a senior? Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that instead of just teaching chess as a board game, I started using this life strategy as a life skill as to, all right, in a game of chess, in the opening, what do you do in the opening game of chess? You develop your pieces. Well, what do you do in the opening game of your life? You're supposed to be developing your skills so that you can go to your middle game. Mm-hmm. So once you get to your middle game, junior high school, you know, what have you developed? If you haven't started developing your skill, you won't get behind. And that's how I got behind, you know, because I started seeing the wrong mentors. I started listening to the incorrect narrative that I was receiving at an early age. I was glorifying prison at an early age. And one of the things I found out about the glorification of prison is the fact that a lot of guys that was coming home from prison was talking about their prison experiences. And I wanted to share that type of spirit, you know, instead of, you know, I said, how thankful, I mean, for a guy coming home, yes. and I'm glorifying a prison experience. Hmm. So I always tell people when I go out to talk, you know, that yeah, yes, I've been to prison, but I don't glorify it because you got guys that's been home for 20 years that, you know, and a female told me this. She said, Gene, she said, you know, my husband's been home for about 20 years. Why does he always take all them cosmetics in a box to a shower? I said, because he's still locked up.
That's right. Yes. You know, I forgot that you do take all your stuff with you when you go to the shower. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Your soap, your toothpaste, everything in that little cardboard box.
So, but those are some of the things that really, if you're not conscious enough to be able to break those chains of that prison experience, you'll carry it on. So, you know, this is what happens in the life skill component of the Big Chair Chess Club. You're able to, you know, what are you doing? You in your opening game, are you developing your skills? What are some of the things that you want to be? And these are three critical questions that I ask our kids at early age. What are the three things that you want to be? What do you want to do? And what do you want to have in life? Those are three things that you might have to go on and sit over in the corner somewhere and ask yourself and get honest with yourself, you know? And you can't be another rapper. I mean, it's all right, but you know, you got to have something solid. You know, what is three things? What would your best self look like?
Yes, yeah. Let me ask you this question. Do you think chess has a role, can play a role in what's going on with these young kids now with all this violence and crime?
Definitely. Definitely. Because what you start doing, you start seeing one of the things that any chess player asks yourself before he make a move is this a good move? You know, this is one of the critical questions that a chess player asks himself before he makes a move. Is this a good move? And then when someone else makes a move, you have to consider, what is he trying to do? Instead of reacting, and this is where a lot of kids is getting caught up, man. They react emotionally. They react with their emotion. The emotion, you got so many guys that locked up right now, man, because of uncontrolled emotions. Yeah. Jealous, full of uncontrolled emotion.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying nothing about single parent family, but I know if a kid is raised up and single parents and you know, his mother, grandmother, sister, you know, he'll pick up a lot of tendencies of being emotional. Mm-hmm. And when you start hearing some of the, you know, some of the language that females use, you know, use against men, and some of the language that they hear, you know, at an early age, men ain't this, this. You know, when you kind of get to the street, you ain't got that much value for another man.
Yes, yes. Hold it right there, Gene. Let me take a break. This is our quarterly fundraiser for WPFWFM.org, your station for jazz and justice. This has been 47 years of education for liberation. Crossroads needs to raise $600 during this show, this hour. You can donate by calling 202-588-0893 or 1-800-222-9730 to give your donation. Go to WPFWFM.
The correct number is 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739.
Okay.
222-9739.
Or you can go to WPFWFM.org to donate online. Or you can cash app us. It's $WPFW. So you can become a sustaining member, $5, $10, $20, or $50, whatever you can afford every month. You must add FM and what the show that you're making a donation to, which is Crossroads. On PFW, we share needed social and criminal justice reform not heard anywhere else. Please, we need you to make a donation and contribution. Last week, we didn't meet our goal. And folks, we got thousands of you listening to this show all over the country and around the world. So the $300 that we need to stay on the air is a pittance, a small penny. So we got folk, we got deep pockets and big bank accounts. Y'all listening to the show, we just talking about a few $100 to keep us on the air. We've been here for 16 years, and we hope to be here for a little longer. So make a donation, a contribution. We need your help here at WPFW to keep us on the air. You can go to WPFWFM.org to donate online. If you want to become a sustaining member, where you make a monthly donation of $5, $10, $20, or whatever you can afford, and you must add FM and what show it is that you're making your donation to. Please, we need your help to stay on the air. Now we get back to our...
Can I pipe in real quick?
You can always pipe in, Nikichi.
So, you know, I was listening to Eugene Brown earlier when he started out. He talked about his family hit the number, and as a result of them hitting the number, they were able to move to a better neighborhood. Well, WPFW should not have to have the luck of hitting the number in order to move. That's one of the things PFW needs to do. Next month is move. And they ain't going to be hitting no number, but they need our donations. They need the donations from the listening audience of Crossroads to help them move to where they need to do to continue bringing the programming that it's bringing. And Eugene Brown's talking about teaching the unreachable and reaching the unteachable. Well, WPFW, we are reaching out to you all because you can do it. You can help to make this happen. So as Roach said, call that number right now. Let's see this needle move. 1-800, do I get that right? 222-9739. 1-800-222-9739 or 202-588-9739. All right, back to you, Roach.
And we ain't asking for no money, folks. We ain't asking for thousands. We just asking for a few $100s. And I was disappointed that we didn't reach our goal last week. We've been reaching our goal or close to it. So, folks, please, we need your help to make those donations and keep the money coming in. And we appreciate anything that you can make to the station, get to the station. Back to on the phone, Eugene Brown is a guy named Horace Fletcher. He's working with a group we started called OGL, Optimistic Gentlemen and Ladies. And they're considering starting the same thing that you started getting involved, Gene, with a chess club, using chess to reach some of these kids, to turn some of them around to get them to think critically, critical thinking. Think before you move. Yeah. We're talking about to teach the unreachable and reach the unteachable. Are you there, Horace Fletcher?
Yes, sir. Good morning, my brother and my friend and my homie, Mr. Roach Brown. Good morning, Gene Brown.
Good morning.
And good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We got a brother, Eugene Brown. Are you familiar with Eugene Brown, Horace?
Yes, sir. I am, just through you. You were the one that pulled my coat to him. I didn't know him before you mentioned and told me that he had a chess club previously in D.C. So I do know him through you and your efforts.
Okay. Well, I like the three things you talked about the three stages in life, Eugene. But there are three stages in life: young adolescents, youth, and seniors. And in chess, there are three stages: the opening, the middle, and the end. And we've been trying to see if we can get these young kids, Eugene, involved in programs where they can think, because there's something that you got to think that you are the king, and our folks are being manipulated like pawns. They are the kings. They got to think like they're kings and think before they do something. And not only that, but also figure out what their next move is after they made that move. This critical thinking is crucial because, as I said at the top of the show, I go over to the jail and I met guys who want to go home and they need to kill two, three people. They're not going home. They didn't think about the consequences that's going to happen. You don't see on TV all these killers and shootings, but you don't see what happened to. There's a young kid, Eugene, in town. They call, what's this young kid they gave 60 years to in Maryland? Baby K. He's been raising so much hell up in Eugene and Washington that they've been talking about Baby K like he's a baby Al Capone. And they gave this young kid 16 years old. They gave him 60 years, man.
Wow.
At 16 years old. Now, you know, that's too much. I know he broke the law, but gee, Mo Christmas, you're supposed to give these guys a chance to come back. But if he had critical thinking, maybe he wouldn't be in that situation. And your movie called The Life of a King, folk, if you haven't seen it, you need to see Life of a King and hear the story and all the details about how Eugene Brown would turn his life around inside. And question, who was your chess man? I read about the thing. Who got you turned on to chess inside the institution, Eugene?
It was a guy, man. It was a guy. His name was Walt. And you know, I was doing time. I was in Trenton State Prison in New Jersey, man. I was in Trenton State at the same time Reuben Carter.
Yeah, well, that was a rough
And
time, man.
I was fortunate, you know. I was a barber, man. I was a barber in quarantine. Everybody that came into that prison at that time had to get all their hair cut off. But one day I was up on the seventh tier. I was and I seen a guy, man. I was walking down the tier. I was trading books, and I happened to look in that guy's cell. And you know, looking in a cell, man, it's like home invasion.
That's right.
And this guy had his back turned, and he turned around, and he seen me. He said, "Brother, what? You got a problem looking in my cell?" I said, "No, I'm just." He had three chessboards set up. I said, "I'm just wondering why you got three chessboards set up." I thought he was kind of going off, you know, because when you get doing a lot of time, man, you know, guys ain't all there. So he said, "Do you play?" I said, "Yeah, I play." He said, "No." He said, "What I'm doing, I'm going through my opening repertoire." He said, "One thing about chess is that there's three stages to a chess game." He said, "I'm working on my end game." And man, during our conversation, this guy changed the whole perspective of the way that I saw chess. And one of the last things he gave me after a long conversation, because that cell turned out to be my classroom. And the information that he gave me was one of the turning points in my life. And he asked me what was my charge. He heard I had a bank robbery charge. He asked me how much money did I get. And I only had got about what, $3,500, because I stuck up a bank on 8th and H with a note and got, you know, got 20, well, I got what, 15 years. And he broke it down. He said, 15 years for $3,500. He said, "You could have got a job flipping hamburgers for that."
Wow.
You know, he said the risk wasn't worth the reward. He said, but the last thing he told me that really stuck with me is the fact that he said, "You're the king." He said, "You know, when you identify yourself on the chessboard, you identify yourself as king." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you know, the king is the one that takes full responsibility of everything that happens in his life. Any position that you find yourself in, your thinking got you there. That's why you're right here now." And that stuck with me, man. That really stuck with me. He said, "All these pieces on this chessboard rely on you, rely on your thoughts for you to be able to reach your end game. What's your end game?" And I mumbled and mumbled. He said, "No, you know, before you leave here, you need to start trying to look at that. And that guy, man, befriended, he mentored me to a whole nother, through that chess, through chess. So, you know, even when I even speak about, I'm the king, all I'm actually saying is, I'm the guy that's gonna take full responsibility for the vision that I have in my life.
Hmm. Wow, that is profound.
That's heavy, you know, and as a result of that, you came out and started the Big Chair Chess Club. But the movie was powerful, Life of a King, starring Cuba Gooding. And they did, that movie's based on your life situation. What kind of response have you gotten from your movie, Life of a King, starring Cuba Gooding Jr.? How was it received, and is it still available for people to get a copy of it or see it?
Yeah, it's actually on YouTube. But I tell you what happened, man. The spiritual part of it was the fact that they didn't even show it in D.C. when it first came out. It only showed it in 18 theaters, one day across the country. But the fact of it is, I found out that they don't promote too many success stories in these movies.
Yeah.
You know, if it's drugs, if it's killing, if it's a whole bunch of comedy, you know, if the narrative is, you know, kind of off the chain, then they promote a lot of that foolishness. But anytime that there's a figure, there's a guy, there's a narrative, the show, I have right now, the Big Chair Chess Club has changed hands. Mm-hmm. From 2000, from the onset, kids that I first started out with in the first and second grade, they are now the president, the vice president of the Big Chair Chess Club.
Now, so that means... Let me just take a second and just do a very quick station ID. This is WPFW-FM Radio, your station for and justice. We're listening to Eugene Brown, the Big Chair Chess Club, and this is Crossroads. And I just want to thank someone because we got that needle moved because folk are listening to this chess information and all of the inspiration from our guests. I want to thank Leonora Winters from Owings, Maryland. She says this program is very important. Many thanks to WPFW. Who's going to follow Leonora Winters? Pledge. So I'm going to turn it back to you all right now, but I just wanted to do that little WPFW-FM station ID.
Thank you,
Nikki.
Hey, Eugene, you were talking about a couple of your folk who participated in the Big Chair Chess Club. What are some of your success stories? You mentioned the president and vice president of the Big Chair Chess Club. Have many of your kids moved on to other walks of life to do other things?
Yeah. You know, just to see guys that came up in Southeast that had brothers that was, you know, back in the 90s, man, when, you know, he was dealing with that drug thing in the neighborhoods that was really, you know, really taking over. And I had a thing, I used to go into the classroom and tell kids that, what do you want to be? And they would say all kind of things. And they say, well, what do you want to be, Mr. Brown? I said, I want to sell drugs. They say, what? Man, I know. I mean, I had teachers, man, that got to looking at each other. And I said, I wish my wife could sell drugs with me. They said, oh, wait a minute now. I said, let me finish. I said, number one, all I had to do is go to school and get my pharmacist license. And I could sell drugs all day long.
Yeah.
Mm. Our kids never see that part. You know, I had to take kids before I answered the question. I put them all in, and I had a station wagon back then. I had about eight of them. I took all of them down to CVS. I had already talked to the pharmacist. I took them all down to CVS, took them back to the back and showed them. I said, this is what a drug seller looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And before I went in, I pointed up and said, drugstore. Then I had to show them, this is what a drug seller looks like. If you want to sell drugs, just go to school and be a farmer. You can sell, they make over $100,000 a year. What if your wife sell it too? That's $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
So, but what happens is, I could take that same question up in Gaither, up in Rockville, and ask them kids, how can I sell drugs legal? And I've heard it. They said, oh, all you got to do is go to school, be a pharmacist. My dad a pharmacist. Mm-hmm. They see that. That's the whole difference in
exposure,
being knowledgeable of having another point of view, you know. So yeah, those were some of the things I was able to do, is be able to give kids a paradigm shift where, yeah, instead of looking at things one way, try looking at, and this is what happens on the chessboard. You might think that you're in a bad position, and actually you're in a winning position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, those were wow, things that, because I came up, you know, I came up hustling, wanting to be a hustler. And one of the things I found out now is, when you kind of mention wanting to be a hustler, they kind of change that whole connotation of a hustler all the way around to, you know, something negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell kids, and I tell people, say, well, look up hustler in the dictionary, and then look up entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And see it on, they have the same characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be a hustler, you know, all you need to do is just change that language into being able to see, yeah, having a vision of how can you get what you want. I got a statement that I make. I'm gonna get what I want, and I'm gonna have what I have what I want to have, yep, so that I can do what I want to do in my life. So how do I do this? So, you know, I have to challenge, even now, I have to challenge myself even to go to the next level, because of this chess game is never reaching the end game. Is that you're always accelerating to bring yourself, you know, to another higher consciousness of, how can I make these things, how can I make this better?
Let me throw this in. Do you believe, or is there a role that chess can play reaching out young people today who are just driving out, no direction, no purpose, without even thinking?
I'll tell you one thing. I can go into a classroom, one of the most disruptive classrooms in DC. Don't say a word while they going doing whatever they do. I can go in there with a chessboard, set a chessboard up around a desk, and them kids will start coming around me. And that's where it starts from.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's where it starts from.
On the line?
You know.
We got our guests on the line, Horace. Horace, you got any questions you want to ask? Any comments you want to make, Horace Fletcher?
I do. So, let me give you a little bit of background, Mr. Brown, about myself, right? Native Washingtonian, grew up in Northwest D.C., lived in the DuPont Circle neighborhood, went to elementary, junior high, and high school in the area. In high school, my mother worked at George Washington University Hospital as a nurse. So in high school, all I wanted to do was be slick. So out of 293 graduating seniors, I was number 292. I almost didn't graduate. So by my mother working in GW, I could go there tuition free. So I needed a recommendation from a counselor there. And when I went to her and asked her for the recommendation, she turned me down. So I ended up going to this pre-college program at Howard University called Upward Bound program. And
yeah,
I ended up going
that.
To Coppin State. Yeah, I went to Coppin State in Baltimore, transferred back to D.C. Teachers College. I was fearful of the fact that I wasn't going to make anything of my life, so I actually did better in college than I did in high school. So I graduated, got a job teaching. I taught school for 8 years, and then decided that I wasn't making enough money, because a lot of my friends that were on the straight and narrow, they had gotten jobs where they didn't have degrees, but they were making more than I was. So I ended up leaving the school system. And during that time, I had been using drugs recreationally. And then once you leave,
what does that mean, Horace? Recreationally?
That means I was just chipping here and there. I wasn't an addict. I wasn't doing it all the time. So, but you know that old saying? You know the old saying about idle time is the devil's workshop, and that's what happened to me. I got caught up, ended up with a habit and all of that. So I was gone from the school system for about 7 or 8 years. Eventually, I found the exit. I was able to get some clarity and got in a program that got me cleaned up, went back to the school system. And while I was in my addiction, I found a buddy of mine that knew how to play chess. So he taught me how to play. And once I got back to the school system with some clarity, I thought it would be a good thing for the kids to learn. So I was in charge of this aftercare program, and I started teaching the kids chess. At that time, it was a lot easier to do it because all the kids were right there in the school I was working at, and I was working an aftercare program, so all I had to do is, you know, bring them into the aftercare program and show them the beginnings, and we went from there. I ended up hooking up with the U.S. Chess Center, and they—
Hold on a minute, Horace. Hold on. Hold that thought. I'll come right back, Richard. This is our quarterly fundraiser for WPFWFM.org. Your station for jazz and justice. This has been 47 years of education for liberation. Crossroads needs to raise over $600 on this aisle. You can donate by calling 202-588-9739, or you can go to WPFWFM.org to donate online, and also put in FM and identify the show you want to make the donation to, and our show is called Crossroads. You can cash app us at $WPFWFM. On WPFW, we share needed social and criminal justice reform, not heard anywhere else. Please, folks, we need your help to keep us on the air. Like I said, last week we didn't meet our goal, and that was very disappointing because we got folk who listen to our show, we got deep, deep pockets and big bank accounts. So, folk, we're asking for a few $100, and the money does not come to Mertine or I or Nikichi. It comes to keep the station operational to make sure our transmitter's up and our staff is paid to keep our message coming to you. So please, please dig deep and quick, because we need the money to stay on the air. All right, Horace, back to you.
Roach, I got to thank somebody, if that's okay. We want to thank Patrick Smith from Richmond, Virginia, for donating to Crossroads. Who's going to follow in Leonora Winters and Patrick Smith's footsteps? They are making the right moves. You know, we're talking about chess. Is this a good move in chess? Well, it's a good move to donate to WPFW right here, right now on Crossroads 202. 588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Back to you, Roach and Merton.
Thank you. All right, Horace, you want to finish what you were saying, Horace?
Yes, back to what I was saying. So we partnered with the U.S. Chess Center, and they would send instructors there to my school to sort of help with the teaching of the program, because I really didn't know, you know, all of the in-depth and long-range benefits of chess. But anyway, so we partnered with them, and I definitely realized that the skills that were involved when I was learning were like the critical thinking, analysis, planning, protecting assets, the overall view, and sacrifice. Sometimes you have to sacrifice a piece to make a better move to get a piece that's more important. So anyway, we ended up getting good enough to play in some local tournaments around the school in that same school district. And it turned out well. So I actually, once we got with the optimistic gentlemen and ladies, I decided that I wanted to do a chess piece. And Roach had mentioned to me that he had a friend that had started a club over in Southeast at the Big Chair. So Mr. Brown, our chess club is called the Kings and Queens Chess Club. And I noticed that it's a little more difficult because instead of me being housed in a location where I could just pull the kids from that school, now I have to go recruit. So I guess I want to ask you, are you still in the area or are you operating nationally?
No, what I'm doing now, I think I've mentioned it, the Big Chair Chess Club is still in D.C. with the young guys that I spoke about that's taking it over. And you need, it'll be a good collaboration for you to get in contact with them.
Okay, I would definitely do that. I'll put that on.
Roach, I think there's another caller on the line.
Yes.
Okay, yes, our next caller, you're on air. Question or comment, please.
Good morning, Roach. Good morning, panel. Good morning, guests. This is Rick calling long distance from Germany.
I knew you'd be calling, buddy. Come on with it, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
I want to first say I'm sorry to Miss Nikichi Taifa about the mishap on your show a few days back with Dr. Julius Garvey. I hope you can have him back again, and I will not call, seeing that the bandits wanted to cause havoc with the radio station. Second, the brother who had the movie made, The Life of a King.
Yes.
Where
yes.
can young people get that movie?
Yes.
He said it's on YouTube, right, Eugene? They can go.
Yes, it's on YouTube. It's on all those streaming channels.
It's an excellent movie. It's starring Cuba Gooding Jr. It is phenomenal.
It is.
If you're working with kids or youth and they have difficulty in concentrating or focusing, let them see this movie. And you said something that's very powerful, Eugene. You said you walked into school in the classroom and they running amok. You just were sitting there with a chessboard and all of a sudden everything gets quiet and everybody come by and listen. Chess is a valuable weapon that can be used to reach a lot of our kids. Yeah. The crime rate is going off the chart in here. Like I said, they locked a baby K, gave him 25 or 60 years. There's a group of kids going around 11, 12, 13 years old, robbing, killing, doing whatever. They don't think about the consequences. This movie will go a long way. I just want to add this. You also did a TED Talk, Eugene. How long ago was it and how did it go?
Oh, it went well. I think it has over millions of views. So, but one of the things that I talked about in TED Talk, and a lot of people don't know, and I thought it was, when I first came upon it, I thought it was a slang. And they talk about, a hood disease. And you have to Google a hood disease. I thought it was a street slang, but hood disease was a connotation that the Center of the Disease Control came up with. They did a quantitative research that said over 75% of our kids suffer from a hood disease. A hood disease actually means that a lot of guys that's coming back from the war with post-traumatic stress, they get a chance to get normalized for a while. They can get stabilized because they're away from the war zone. They said, but the kids that's in these areas, in these hoods, they're traumatized 24/7 and has caused a learning impediment in their behavior. So Google, a lot of people don't know this, Google hood disease, and you'll see that they've done research already as to, so if you got a learning impediment at that early age, that already starts the pipeline from prison, from school or prison.
Prison, yes, yes.
So they know more about us already as to where we go. They see our end game before we do.
Yeah, because they plotted our end game. You know, it's a thing that we've been saying, Eugene, that everybody in the Black community in the hood is suffering from HIV. I got it. Everybody in the Black community is suffering from HIV. I call it hood infected virus. That's the same thing that you're referring to, that the study they did, because of the socioeconomic conditions in our community, we are all impacted or affected by this hood infected virus. So chess and what you've done and doing can go a long ways, because as my wife said, we've been meeting with groups, Eugene, all over the city. Every week we meet 15, 20, 30 groups trying to see what we can do to come up with some of this. And one of the missing pieces is what we're talking about now. Critical thinking. Get these kids to think before they move. And we're talking about to reach the unreachable and teach the unteachable. This chess has a valuable role it can play in reaching our youngsters and get them to think before they act. Because right now, this crime is off the chain, and a lot of these youngsters are just doing things out of reaction as opposed to thinking. So this is something that we need. And please look at that movie, Life of a King. Just look at it, folks, and see if you can use it in your church, your community organization, wherever you can take it. But just look at the movie yourself first, and you can find ways how you can use this film to reach our kids, because we got to reach them. Don't keep walking past them, don't talking to them. You got to reach them, folks, and they're reachable. They're waiting on us to reach out to them, and they need us to save our lives. So do we have any more callers? We have another call.
Actually, I'd like to thank somebody, if that's okay.
Come on.
Yes. Votes, yes. We want to thank Anonymous for a wonderful donation to Crossroads. And we also want to thank Juanita White of Washington, D.C., Anonymous from Washington, D.C., for a wonderful contribution. We are halfway there, Votes. We are 50% there. So we want to encourage others. And what Vic from Germany was saying about the technical difficulties, WPFW is under attack with a number of technical issues with sabotage. So it's even more urgent to support this radio station. It's not the first time the station's been under attack. In Houston, the Ku Klux Klan bombed, the transmitter there from WPFW's sister station. So we need these funds to come in. We need to be vigilant against these attacks, and we need to move forward. So thanks for everyone who's donating. There's still time, y'all. We need to get to our goal. We need to we need to max out or go over max out.
Thank you. We got another caller.
We've got another caller, and for those of you who are not aware,
and give that phone number again for donating. I forgot about that.
Yes, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. You can become a sustaining member. Any amount you can give monthly deductible is a blessing. We've got another caller. We're going to get our last
Come
caller.
Come on, let's take our last caller. Then we go. Let me close off the show. Our last caller, you're on the air. Question or comment, please.
You talking to me, Roach?
Now, last call. We got another caller on, don't we?
Yes.
Come on.
You're on the air, caller. I'm on the air?
Yes, you're on the air.
Roach, I met you at Union Temple through Tyrone Parker.
Okay.
I'm a senior citizen. I met you and your wife there.
Okay.
And I just want a donation to your station. And I thank you for all that you do.
And what's your name? What's your name?
My name is Juanita White.
Oh, well, Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes. I just thank you, Juanita White. Thank you so very much for your wonderful contribution.
Thank you.
To this radio station. Absolutely. Yes.
We got a couple of minutes. Eugene, you want to close it out and give us some closing remarks?
Yeah. Anyone, please contact me. My email address is chessmaneugene@gmail.com.
Give it again.
Chessmaneugene@gmail.com. I'm a motivational speaker. It's always good to show the movie, have me to come out, and one of the things that I'm really working on is vocational training. A lot of these guys are voluntary. A lot of these, we need to set up in a library, in a gym, anywhere. Some of these guys that have specific skills, carpentry, plumbing, volunteer their time, man, to teach these guys, give them, because they done took vocational training out of school. We have to come together because a lot of these guys coming home, they got a lot of these skills. We need to be able to put them somewhere where these are the only guys that's going to be able to relate to a lot of these guys
there
in the street.
Yeah,
that's what the optimistic gentleman
set up a vocational training, man. Hey, hey, brother, let me show you another way. Let me give you this plumbing game.
Okay,
let me give you this plumbing game. Let me give you this carpentry game. You know, whatever you're doing, but at least get this skill with you.
Eugene, give them a phone number they can call if they want to reach you.
They can call me at 828-334-6105, but email me. It's chessmaneugene@gmail.com. And Brother Fletcher, I want to get in contact with you, man, because I see a lot of possibilities, and this is how we're going to have to collaborate, man. This day and time, man, we got to really come together.
We'll hook you up with him, Gene. Thank you for coming on, man, and I appreciate you. Now be in touch when we get off the air, because Harsh is trying to get this thing together, and we know it can play.
Well, we're going to get it. We ain't trying no more.
All right.
There you go. All righty. Our guest has been Eugene Brown, founder and CEO of the Big Chair Chess Club. And they did a movie on his life called The Life of a King about chess and the role it can play in our community. Thank you, Eugene Brown.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me, Rose. Peace and blessings.
Thank you. And thank you to all our listeners who made a donation or contribution. We still need your help. We haven't reached our goal yet. So please reach in your pocket, people, to keep us on the air. And she said, as I said earlier, somebody hacked into the station down and blew up one of the transmitters. We're having problems, but the problems we're having, you can solve. Just reach in your pocket, write a check, or use your credit card. Thank you. This has been Crossroads with Mertine, Mike Nassala, and Katia. Still, I ain't forgot you, Katia. And Merry Christmas, everybody. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Of Brazil, I met a young brother that made me feel that I could accomplish anything. You see, just like me, he wanted to sing. He had no windows and no doors. He lived a simple life and was extremely poor. On top of all of that, he had no eyesight. But that didn't keep him from seeing the light. He said, us are like in the USA. And all I did.
Hey, it's that time again. Join WPFW as we move to get fit at the annual 5K run walk for total fitness. Dynamic fitness instructors will be there, free healthy snacks and water, exciting music, boat rides for families, and a double dutch contest and a hand dance contest are all included in the 5K fundraiser. This event takes place at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park, 4601 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday, September 14th. Now, for more details on how to register, visit our website, wpfw.org, or call 202-888-5484. That's 202-888-5484. Meet you at the park on Saturday, September 14th, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. WPFW, making a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Yeah. Hey friends, we are back again. Mark your calendars. On Saturday, August the 24th, WPFW will host the 15th annual Blues Festival featuring Clarence the Blues Man Turner, Jim Bennett with Jesse Terrell, Stacy Brooks, Low Rent Quartet, Reggie Right Eye, and the Missing Pieces, all at Lamont's Entertainment Complex, 4400 Livingston Road in Indian Head, Maryland. Event time is from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. For more information, go to eventbrite.com and search WPFW. Why, you ask? Because WPFW is building a better world, one broadcast at a time. Believe that.
WPFW will air Democracy Now!'s coverage of the Democratic National Convention daily from 9 until 10 a.m. beginning Monday, August 19th through Friday, August 23rd. Listen and donate anytime to this programming and all of our other programming at WPFWFM.org.
From Rahsaan Roland Kirk to Assata Shakur, WPFW has been your go-to for cultural and political education since 1977. Your contributions have allowed us to uphold the mission of liberatory media set forth by our founders. August 11th through the 24th presents another opportunity to support WPFW during our summer pledge drive. Donations can also be made anytime at WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Greetings, everybody, and peace. My name is Anthony Rogers Wright, host of the new program, Full Spectrum, 360 degrees of analysis and discussion of domestic and global politics. This program also includes commentary and interviews with subject experts from around the country and the world. Full Spectrum also includes a segment called Burn Notice, offering listeners a rare and seldom take on the climate crisis from an unapologetically Black perspective. That's Full Spectrum every Tuesday at 6 p.m. beginning August 12th, right here, beginning August 12th, right here on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.